Hey, what's up, folks? This is Quase Fulton here in the man cave with George Thompson. Now, who is Mr. Thompson? Now, how I met him was at StretchBot. He had some problems with mobility and things like that.
Back, neck, everything.
Back, neck. And we got to talking, and I found out this humble guy here is an author. And he's an author of this book. It's called The 21 Day Fast. Let me read the back of it. 21 Day Fast is a daily journal that will help you jumpstart your journey towards a biblical financial stewardship in 21 days.
Yep.
Through practical exercises and action steps grounded in biblical principles, you'll learn how to create a budget, pay off debt, save for the future, and overcome common financial roadblocks.
Yep.
So George was kind enough to come by to the studio. He brought the mic.
That's right.
And so I have a few questions for him, but first, you know, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
First of all, I've dedicated my life to helping people get to the next level financially. So this is actually my sixth book, and how this book came about is, you ever heard of a fast, like how people fast from food? You know, like you've seen that intermittent fasting or different things from food. Also biblically, from meat, sweets, and alcohol and things like that.
Yeah.
So this book was a financial fast. So it's showing you how to get rid of things that are stumbling blocks and then I give you a blueprint on how you get to the next level. Like I find out what level you're at, whether that's struggling and sinking, like you're having a problem with your finances, all the way up to where you're doing good. And I show you how to get from one level to the next level to the next level. 21 days.
You know, I think you said that in your book. How many stages?
So there's four stages of financial growth.
Right.
So you're and struggling. That you go through. But then also you find out what level people are at. First of all, that's five. First of all, struggling and sinking means your inability to pay your current bills. Second level is steady. That's just enough to pay your bills, but if something snaps, crackles, or pops, then you fall down to struggling.
Right.
The next level is solid. That means you're doing pretty well, putting in your 401k, things like that, 1 week vacation. Then there is surplus. That means extra money. Hopefully we'll talk a little bit about that with you, because sometimes you typically own your own business in that area or you've been established. And then the highest level is surplus. That's where you're not concerned with finances. You just do whatever God put you on this earth to do. And in your previous, I've watched your previous post. I'm not stalking him, but I'm watching him. We talked about financial freedom. Oh, so yeah. Financial freedom is your ability to be able to make your own decisions and be able to do things financially where you don't have to do things. You do things because you want to, not because you have to.
Yeah.
So I show people how to do that, and I walk them through levels. Then one other thing I just want to add is that
go ahead.
You said about getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. So I've written several books, and the first book I ever wrote was called Millionaires in Training, wrote over 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was a cornerstone of showing people how to get out of debt and also how to invest, which this book does as well. And I teach a class. It's actually one of the most popular classes I teach. It's called Do Good, you know, Do Good, G-O-O-D. That stands for Get Out of Debt. That's one of the biggest stumbling blocks of people becoming financially successful is their ability, because debt restricts cash flow.
Now, with debt, now do you think it's a program that we're running on? Because sometimes people, you know not to make that decision, but you still make that decision to put yourself in debt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also there's something called a need and a want. And a wish, okay? We kind of got to separate those out a little bit. And then also doing it, because also, I teach biblical principles. So as you know, in the Bible it says, my God shall supply all of my needs. It doesn't say greeds. So one of the things is we have to learn the difference between a need and a want. And then also what this book is critical in teaching is it teaches you how to prioritize your money. You see, the reason why people waste money a lot of times, Sway, is that one of the things they do is they don't prioritize things. So what happens is, you just said earlier that we don't want these things, but just all of a sudden we just do something. Mm-hmm. Then later on, when it comes down to really what you want to do, it isn't prioritized.
Okay. So example, is this a common example that you bump into when you're helping somebody out?
Oh, simple. Somebody says, let me give an example with you. Somebody says, I want to open up my own business. Or the biggest one we get is this. I want to own a home. I'm like, well, hey, how much are you saving for the down payment? Right. Well, I want to buy a house, no money down. I'm like, well, then the payment's going to be real high. You know what I mean? Right, then what are you paying monthly? Then I'd probably say that's number one. Then the number two we get, these are the biggest things that we get when someone comes and sits down with me. I also, as you may know, I own a wealth management firm.
Yeah.
So I teach wealth management. And, oh, I got this new thing, generational wealth. Type in the chat, generational wealth. Generational wealth is someone says, I want to retire. I'm like, well, how much are you saving for retirement? What's your retirement account? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not putting money towards that. And then they pull up in a brand new Lamborghini. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
yeah.
You see, that's what I'm talking about misplaced priorities.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to focus on it.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people, especially nowadays, are after just immediate gratification. You know, because of Instagram, Facebook.
Microwaves.
Microwaves.
Right.
Everything.
Right.
So as far as the house, what you said, now a lot of people... And this might be old programming, but like they feel a house is a successful thing to do. Well, I bought a house, now I own something. I don't want to make somebody else rich. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, yeah, as far as home ownership. But also, if you look at, you know, in the past, like within the last few years, we've had what's called not inflation, but hyperinflation, where costs have really, really raised. Look at what rental costs are in this. We're in California right now. Yeah. And just let you know,
$5,000.
Yeah, but so just so you know, they came out with a study and they said the most expensive rent in the United States of America is in San Diego, and number two is Los Angeles. In the past, it's been the Bay Area. So you know what's in between the Bay Area and San Diego? Los Angeles. So, you know, they're talking like one bedrooms, they're talking about our $2,500 is the average right now. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at that and you're looking at if people are doing, like what you said, three bedroom homes, different things like that, they're a lot more. So when you own a home, you control more once you have the mortgage, that's pretty much locked in. It just can't keep raising on you.
Right. Okay. So you're saying the first thing you should do is save up money towards get in the house. So
you should set a goal of what you want to do.
Oh, okay.
We don't ever tell people, hey, because if we want you to buy a house more than you do, that doesn't work.
Right.
So it's just when someone comes to me, usually they're saying, I want to retire, or kind of in another area is entrepreneur, I want to open my own business. But typically they need to have some startup cash or they need to manage it. So let me give you an example. Like I'll use if you own a restaurant or food, like you're really good at cooking. Then you need to start, before you go out and buy a restaurant and do all the brick and mortar, then decide really what you want to do. Like, is it you like serving people and helping them? Mm-hmm. So we've had clients that have come out and they did catering. They kept a certain amount of that money. Then they actually didn't open a restaurant. They did the food truck thing and made a killing.
Yeah,
so you have to decide, but you have to decide what you want to do. And then we get a plan to do it. We call that the blueprint. And then when people become clients of ours, we call it the wealth notebook.
Okay.
Wealth notebook.
Let me go into my notes in here. All right. So, okay. What motivated you to write the 21-day fast?
Really simple. I've watched the breakthroughs that people have had through biblical fasting, through doing it with, you know, it's when they do things with no meat, no sweets,
that. Like the Daniel fast.
But not only the Daniel fast, but I've watched over the last 20 years, I've watched how people have implemented things from my books. Mm-hmm. And then, so what the 21-day fast actually is it's taking all of my best techniques over the last 25 years, over 100 speaking engagements a year.
A year, bro.
Wow. Yeah,
so I really appreciate it going to that. I do about, to the man cave.
I do 3 speaking engagements a week.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I did one this morning, and I'm here right now in the man cave.
Did you do one this morning?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, at 6 a.m.
Zoom?
So I do those because there's actually, I have for East Coast, that's time
works for people all around.
And it works for 9 o'clock. And then also blessing is there's also people that are in the military that watch it. So it's recorded, then we cut it up, and then we send it out.
Okay.
Pieces.
Okay.
I also do that with this book, 21 Day Fast Start.
Okay.
But to answer your question is that what I wanted to do was how the real motivation behind this book was, I want to show people how to do it the most efficient and quickest way. You know, back, and then I'm not saying we're old, but you know, back in school, when they tell you to read a book, you could actually walk into the school bookstore and walk to the back of the book section. They had these little yellow books called Cliff Notes, where you could actually come in and be able to do that. So if you look at my books, The Millionaires in Training, I wrote a book called The Wealth Cycle, then I wrote a book called Set for Life. Set for Life shows you how to achieve goals in 90 days. By desire, focus, accountability, and consistency.
Consistency.
Yeah, yeah, man. That's how you know that from sports. Yeah, right? So then just what this life, book general, was is summarizing it. So let me give you an example. You just picked up this and said, what level are you at? You see how every day is only one page. Mm-hmm. Then on the very back, there's QR codes right here. Mm-hmm. So that means they can come back and watch it live. Mm-hmm. So so what happens is when I say live, they can watch videos of me by also signing up for that as well. Mm-hmm. So what happens is, somebody, you know, I call it the hybrid. You know how you have cars that run on gas? Mm-hmm. This is gas, and then electric is the video. Mm-hmm. Because now people, they want to be able to consume us both ways. Like right now, you're watching us on video, and we're having a conversation in the man cave. Mm-hmm. So you may want to have a conversation about the 21-day fast finances. So that's what motivated me to do, was mainly to help people in the most efficient, quick way.
That's great. That's real great. Okay. Explain that well. Oh, this is a good one. How does the book integrate with the biblical principles with the practical financial advice?
Right. So that's that. First of all, you know what's really interesting is, if you looked at how I got into ministry, actually in ministry I was called, but also you hear a lot of times, in not only just in ministry but in life, people say things, but there's no practical application. I'm like, I want to make like glue and apply yourselves. You know what I mean? Like, you have to really have a practical thing. Like, in other words, say, like, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. So what I want to do is, so I'm taking biblical principles. Mm-hmm. Like we talked a little bit earlier about that the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs. And then it says, according to his riches and glory. That means God already has it. He blesses you with things. You just want to be a good steward over things. Mm-hmm. So I'm showing you how to practically apply it. So you have stewardship in four areas of your life. I know if you're in the chat, hey, hold up four fingers. First is time. There's 86,400 seconds in a day. And how well you manage that dictates how well you're doing life. So you can't, it's like a bank, you can't get a refund. No. You get time. Second, you have a talent or a skill. The Bible says that in Ephesians 2:10, that you're uniquely made, so you don't need to be like anybody. By the way, I'm a twin.
And I have met his sister.
He met my sister. It's true. So, yeah, he did. He met my sister, Jennifer. Okay, I'm a twin, but also I have twins. We all have different fingerprints.
Right.
You are so unique. I want your skill or what you have to be out there. Time, talent. Third is temple. This is you. I'll let you have that. That's the top of your head, the tips of your toes. You got to take care of your temple. Mm-hmm. You know, like I have younger kids, so that's why I come to Stretch Lab, because they shoot baskets. The ball comes up. Stretch spot.
Don't say that.
I know. Stretch spot. That's the only place I go. I ain't been to that.
Yeah, I know.
Stretch spot is my kids. I want them to be able to, as they get older, I still want to be in good shape and be able to monitor that. Yeah. So then that's health. And then the fourth, treasure, that's your finances. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure you're managing all four of those. Mm-hmm. And the Bible teaches about stewardship and biblical stewardship. And there's over 2,000 scriptures that mention finance in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The Bible also has about 50 parables in it. Most of them involve possession, how well you manage what God has blessed you with. So yes.
So, do you have a parable in the Bible that you know offhand?
Oh, I do. Okay.
Right there. So the one that's.
First of all, I have a lot of them, but let's just use
this one.
Cool. Matthew 25:14-30. A man goes on a journey and he entrusts his servants. Yeah. One he gives 5 talents. To another he gives 2. To another he gives 1. The one with 5 talents went out at once and doubled it. The one with 2 talents went out and doubled it. The one with 1 talent went out and buried it in the ground. Then he went and called him the wicked and lazy servant and took it from the one that had 1 and gave it to the one that had 5. If you adjust a talent for inflation, that's over $250,000. So he gave one man over $1 million. Gave another man about $400,000. Another person about $250,000. And he says we're giving it based on our ability. So that's one of the things we need to learn, is that we need to change our ability when we're managing money. That's one. The second is, the one with 2 talents went out and doubled it, just like the one with 5. So in order, he learned how to work what he was given with. And that's why we want to work what we're given with. And if we have, and then you see the one that had 1 and buried in the ground, that was before they had credit cards and debt and stuff like that. Imagine today.
Yeah, that would be like a credit card.
Yeah, there you go. Or I call it plastic crack.
Yeah.
You know, give you artificial high.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's wrong, you do it anyway.
I get that. Okay.
Right. And then also, hey, you know what's interesting is, I'm going to ask you a question since you're asking me questions.
All right, so
entrepreneurship. You know, what are some of the things that you think are important about entrepreneurship and that people should really, you know, something that people should really learn and do as far as that you teach in entrepreneurship?
I mean, there's a lot there. I'd say the first one is have a realistic goal.
Right.
Because at least, because I got a few businesses. So for like StretchBot, like a lot of people ask, man, hey man, you know, like what does it take? You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you need a lot of money to start. You need a plan and you need a skill, like you said, so you can train. So my goal was to help people move better.
Right.
And I was doing it before this. And I just think, you obviously you need money, you need a plan, and you need to be consistent.
Gotcha.
I mean, consistency is the key.
Right.
And you need to work your craft.
Right.
Like, not just, let's say I'm a good stretcher, you know, or I'm a good entrepreneur, but daily I'm continuously working on my craft to sharpen it.
Good. You know? Here, let me hype up StretchBot real quick. StretchBot is this. I'll tell you a couple things. Reason why I think your business is really good and why I come there. Number one, you're very, I'm going to go over consistent, but you have a really good culture there. Whenever I go there, it's like great people. Every time you come there, they're more excited about stretching me. You know, I want them to be as excited as I am about it.
Yeah.
You mean, you don't want to go to no restaurant and you're like, what's good here? Like, I don't eat here. I'm like, let me get up. You know what I mean? It's like you're really committed to it and just as, and then also be like I'm part of a family and in doing that. So when you have a business, also, I think what you just said is really good is having a plan, because I think that people have ideas but they don't actually put them to plans and walk through them.
The financial plan, the plan on training the plan on when you have a brick and mortar, the plan on training the staff and making sure the staff stays engaged as long as they can,
right?
Because you know with staff the mindset you got to have with a business owner, it's almost like a basketball team, you know.
Right.
There's players that are going to be good for a little bit, and then, you know, you got to trade them. You got to trade them, or you got to train them better. That's pretty much how business is. It's like a basketball team.
Right.
If you don't have if you got a selfish player on your team or a bad apple, that can ruin the whole culture of the squad.
Right. So, and that's good because you have good people. Because even the people I've referred, they come back and say, "Hey, did you work with such and such?" I'm like, "No, hey, it was awesome." That's really good. That's really good.
Okay.
Good. Hey, can I share a business tip with you as well?
Sure.
So, hey, also one of the things whenever I do businesses, can you guys hold up four fingers again? So, see, I'm interactive because it helps you remember things. But that's why I'm doing that, not to do that. But hold up four fingers. Whenever you run a business, this is one of the things we walk through to have them. There's four areas you want to always focus on when you have a business. If you had vice presidents, these would be your first four vice presidents, but starting off, you probably could do all four of them. Number one is marketing. So we said that plan. You want to have a marketing plan, okay? Then we'll talk about these next. Number two, you got to have an operational plan. Do you see how he just said, you know, the people, the staff, how they come in, everything like this. Third, new products and services. That means, you know, like you have things, you know, I'm not advocating McDonald's or Starbucks or anything, but if you notice, they'll have something, new menu items, different things like that. Like, you know, I got a text message email from the StretchBot that said, hey, it's Valentine's Day, come in and do a stretch with you. I'm like, I had never thought of that. You know what I mean? Okay, got it. And then I'm like, I can't wait till I see, like, Mother's Day's already coming. And then they'll send me something on their birthday and say, we want to come in and say happy birthday, you know, it's something like that. All right, but number three, where were we? We were talking about new products and services. Number four, I'm coming on home. You want to have a financial dashboard. That means that says that if you are on an island, you guys know there's in your car, it has a dashboard that shows how much gas you got, how fast are you going, how's your engine performing, hey, what's going on with the lights and different things like that. Then they also have these other cars, these electric cars, Teslas. They have a little bit more enhanced where they're showing you everything, where you're going, how it's going to go there and everything like that. You want to have that exact same dashboard for your business. How many people are coming in this week? How are they doing? What's the revenue projection? How are things going? And you have those four things, and you build your business wealth notebook. But it's only doing that. So anyway, marketing, go ahead.
You know that part on the financial plan, the key, like some people, I say this, like wing their business. You know what I mean? When I say that is, like it costs a certain amount of money to operate a business, right. And you need a spreadsheet to kind of show you exactly, it's not going to be exact, but how much it costs an hour to run your business, mm-hmm. what your prices should be at, yeah. Your year projection, the slow times, when you need to do a sale, when it's slow. We're going to try this year. We're going to do, because Instagram and Facebook, you know, if you do a story, you can say, hey, if you see this story, you can get a discount. Yeah. You know, so we kind of, not in the beginning, but as we matured as business people, we started having those four in place. But in the beginning, we were winging it.
Yep. You know what we call it when you don't have those and you're winging it?
Yeah.
We call that a hobby.
Yeah.
So yeah. Some people have a business and some people have a hobby. Oh, I'm sorry if that hurt. I don't mean that. I mean hurt you. I'm just saying that so you can get realized to what you're doing. Is there some people that say they have a business and what they actually have is a hobby? If you're not making money or you don't have a plan to make money and you're just doing that and you're just doing it, and I'm using the term winging it, because we in the man cave. If you're winging it, that's a hobby. So what I'm going to do is turn that into a profitable business. Then also we're going to talk about scaling that business. And then, you know what I'll talk about? Clap my hands in advance. Scale, not only scaling it, but passing it on. That's generational wealth. Either are you going to sell the business or are you going to, so the business has learned to work without you, or are you going to pass it on to your children and your children's children?
Well, let me ask you this. Now, a lot of people don't have startup capital to run a brick and mortar business.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm a network marketer. I do network marketing. I have a brick and mortar business, and I do network marketing. Now, the reason why I do it is because that's another form of income that will be passive, and I can. It's not location oriented. I can do it all over the world. Well, Canada, United States. I can use tools like the internet and my phone to build capital. To build residual. So, what do you think about network marketing?
Gotcha. So two things though. I just wanted to do one clarification. He clarified one thing with me. Is that I don't believe there's anything that is passive income. I should stop there, because you wonder why I own real estate and I own properties and everything.
No, I get that.
And everybody's telling me, George, real estate's passive income. I'm like, you have to deal with three things: toilets, trash, and tenants. Okay. Right. So like, the stuff got to be fixed. Stuff got to do it. But they say the income is passive. I'm like, it's still active. So the reason why I also want to use the term active, and then I want to go into network marketing, is that you got to find something that you're passionate about and that you believe in. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember the stretch spot? You remember, see, I refer to it because I believe in it. Also, the car, type of car I have, the people, I tell them all the time. I said, if I worked here, I'd be your top salesman. Hands on, like, everything. My wife, the surface, where I got this shirt. No, anyway, like where I go, like, the lady said this in the store. I said, no, if I worked here, I would be the top salesman. Yeah. And I don't say that out of arrogance. I say it out of confidence.
Oh, because you love the car.
Yeah, I love it. And so there's certain that I talk about, and then that's it. So now I want to go talk about network marketing in the area of health and in doing it. Is first, you have to lead by example. If you're taking a product or you're doing something and it's helping you, you are the business card for that. Mm-hmm. You can hand out business card and say, hey, look, my blood pressure was here and now it's here. Mm-hmm. There's certain things that I did during the pandemic. I'll give you an example that were like that. Mm-hmm. You know how they said COVID-19? I gained COVID-19. My daughter goes into the pantry and she goes, Daddy, can I get a fruit snack? I say, girl, bring me back five. You know what I mean? Check up and bring me back three.
Yeah,
and I gained weight. Mm-hmm. I had to make an intentional effort to take care of my body. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things that I did that, and then I was able to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So back to network marketing. Network marketing or just sales or anything of something that you believe in. Mm-hmm. And then there's a path. And then the last thing, there's a plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With the plan, you know, what's interesting with network marketing, because I priced prospect daily, and the thing, there's a few people that I've talked to where, you know, they were passionate about the product,
right,
which was cool, but then when I started breaking down, I said, okay, it costs you a couple $100 a month,
right?
You gotta buy the product, then you're gonna have, you know, your yearly fees with the company, whatever that is, and then you have your monthly promotion,
right?
Meaning, like, Are you going to promote using Facebook? Are you going to do ads? Are you going to buy leads? Right. All that's part of the cost.
Right.
You add that up for the year.
Right.
And now you have, let's say it costs you $7,000 to run your network marketing business. Right. So if you make $7,001, you're in profit.
Right.
And then after that, so to me, people don't really see that. They just see, oh, hey, let's make all this money.
Right.
It's like, well, first you got to put the plan there, see how much it costs to run your business, and then work towards making enough profit to where it pays for itself. And then after that, you start making your profits.
Right. But so I think that's a, I shouldn't say a separate issue, but that is understanding just how things work.
You know, I grew
up in Minnesota, so, and I was going to Mississippi or something. So mm-hmm. one of the things I learned is that you have to plant something, mm-hmm. and then you got to fertilize it in order for it to grow. Mm-hmm. Seed time harvest, pretty simple,
yeah,
right? So you have to do the exact same thing into a business. Mm-hmm. And then what the two things that I think that, and I think the other two areas that people miss when they're doing network marketing or any type of marketing or sales mm-hmm. is this, they don't leverage two other things. They don't leverage what they're already doing. Like in other words, like if they're doing something where they're already meeting, mm-hmm. they aren't managing the relationships. Like in other words, like saying like, hey, let's all do this together. Hey, let's all do that together. There are people they probably already know that they'll propel their business that they probably aren't contacting mm-hmm. or aren't utilizing in a manner in which.
Or afraid to contact.
Right.
Because they don't have the
But it's not even that. I think that now this is I'm not saying it's easier now because of social media. Just show what you're doing.
Yeah, no, it
like,
is.
Like right. Yeah. Hand that to me.
Okay.
Hand that. Right.
All right.
So now if we were sitting, hold on. No. I got this first. Okay. Now look, I'm trying. But I mean, if we were just sitting here, right, uh-huh. and then we're doing this and we're talking about it, then we say day one, right? Yeah. Then we stretch in, right?
Yeah.
We done stretch spot. We stretch in and we're working out and everything like this. And then I come back and say, hey, man, I weigh. I'm gonna say 250 or something like that. Yeah. And I said, hey, I'm gonna eat right, I'm gonna work out, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna drink this. Then day 49, I'll come in. I'm tired one day, and then do it that way. Mm-hmm. And say, but I'm gonna keep going and then have that and this be part of the process. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's that, and that's just posting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they can choose to watch it, because see, this is the thing. This
there,
is the thing.
People
do this. It's called before and after shots.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying not to preach, but I'm saying before and after shots.
Right, just try.
So what happens? Someone takes a picture of them before, and then they show one after. The problem is they're not showing them in between.
Oh, they're in between. Yeah.
They have to show. That's the testimony part. Mm-hmm. I think that people aren't leveraging that enough.
Okay. I can answer why. It's sweet. It's really sweet when you bring it up.
I was like, okay, guys, okay. But it's like Pepto-Bismol.
No, like, no, it's like a grape taste.
Okay.
So, okay, the reason why.
I felt like, hey, but I did. I felt like on Club Shay Shay. You know what I mean? They
okay. So the reason why, I mean, we're just going on that. Now, the reason why I'm passionate about the nutritional supplements, because I know. You want this?
No, just keep going. That's why.
Okay, because I know at the end of the day, you know, this is just off me, is I don't eat right 100% of the time. And I'm not going to get the nutrients that this has. So nutritional supplement, I mean, I take it as a money in the bank. Just money in the bank for health.
Right.
And before, let's say I was eating, you know, I'd eat some days I'd be eating really good. Then I'd go to Willingham's barbecue place. And so, in my mind, it's good, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, for me, that gives me the sanity is when I take these supplements, I'm like, okay, I'm putting money in the bank, nutrients I need. Because a lot of people die from just not having enough nutrients in their body, just not taking care of themselves, not even knowing how to take care of themselves. So my whole thing is about just keeping yourself living longer, moving better, and just being a healthier person.
Gotcha. Hey, here, hold this. And I see these ingredients. And I see how they're doing. Yeah, just be realistic here for a minute.
Okay.
So we met with these cardiologists. They brought these cardiologists into our church when we were doing this thing. We had a health month, and that was one of the leading killers was heart disease and different things like this and cancer. So this doctor walks up, his cardiologist, he's from Louisiana. Gets giving that to you up front. He says, he starts naming beignets, fried fish, he starts naming food. Everybody's like, this sounding, and they're thinking he isn't gonna say it. He goes, let's talk about portion control. I think because of the ad, because of, I don't want to blame everything on social media, but the pictures you see on Yelp of some of these restaurants, it's not about, like you just said, well, you said the barbecue spots that you go to, and I have a couple of spots I go to, and everything like this. Saying not to eat that.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, that's unrealistic. So what we're saying, what I'm saying, not even trying to, that I'm going to eat like that, but like once a week, you know, I'm going to eat like that at times, and I'm going to do portion control. I'm going to order that, you know what I mean? Like I'm naming stuff now, brisket, taco, you know, we're naming this, naming that, you know what I mean? Like different things like this, but have portion control. But then it's like that, I'm going to say battle. The challenge is we want to have more good going in than coming out. Like some of the rules that also I live by. And the dog, hey, how you doing? How you doing, George? Good to meet you. All right. See that? We still, it's still a man cave, though, man. It's still a man cave, though. All right. But where was I? So it's really about portion control and then setting up boundaries and rules. Mm-hmm. Like I have certain things that like certain things I eat before noon. Like it is typically nutritional content that's that way. And then I went to Kansas City with my family. Mm-hmm. So you guys know they got barbecue. That's those two. Okay. So look, they asked my daughter, they said, did you guys eat barbecue while you were there? And then my daughter turned and looked at everybody. She was 9 at the time. She said, we ate it every day. But what did I do? In the morning, I worked out. In the morning, I only ate salads other than when I had that meal, that mm-hmm. barbecue meal. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys, you see that? Did I go to Kansas City and not eat any barbecue? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. I had brisket everything.
No.
I put barbecue sauce on everything. Mm-hmm. They're pouring syrup. I put barbecue sauce on that. Okay, so look. So we're not telling you not to live your life, but we're showing you how to live it so you can live it longer.
Right.
Also, not talking finance, but that's one of the areas that, see, people's biggest challenge is we're trying to change, not just that you just live a few days longer. What we want to do is we want to increase what's called longevity. Longevity means the longer that you live, the definition of longevity, the longer that you live, the more likely you are to keep living. Mm-hmm. So if you make it 65, there's a high chance to make it 75. If you make it 70, there's a high chance to make it 80, 85. See, so what happens is that's by making the right choices.
Daily.
See, every day you get a chance and you get a choice. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is make the right choices. Mm-hmm. So I know today, it's my wife's birthday and stuff. I'm celebrating every day.
What? You came over here? Dang.
That's right. They all sitting out in the car waiting. No, just kidding. That was funny. Type in the chat if that was funny. Okay, so but wait. So I know we're going to, so every day I take her to a different place. I get mm-hmm. a different thing, or not every day, but I take her to different things. Mm-hmm. So now I know that this morning. So then I even now got my kids. So you guys got this? Did you hear me say generational wealth? I dedicate my life to generational wealth. Number two, generational health. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I have my kids. I say, hey, Gracie, guess what? Daddy's making a salad.
Mm-hmm.
Watch me. So they know now. They watch me. They watch me in Kansas City eat salads for breakfast. Mm-hmm. They watched me sit in restaurants and order those lunch menus. Those people said, we don't serve lunch. I said, can you bring out the manager? Mm-hmm. Can you make me a salad? Mm-hmm. And they said, yes. I said, I'll be back here tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm from Cali. And the guy, now they just kind of just do it now. You know what I mean? Like they hand out a breakfast menu. I said, cool. Can you bring me a salad? They're like, let me go see if I can go to them. They just do it.
Yeah.
But that's a decision.
Yeah. I got rules like that too. So I'm a heavy fiber. I think fiber is really important.
Right.
Super important.
Right.
So before, like today, I'm going to go out with Zoe. I know we're going to go to a restaurant. So before I even hit that restaurant, I would have eaten fruits, veggies, nuts and seeds, things like that. To just that's nutritious. And right. Of course, add the supplements to my diet. And then when I go to the restaurant, I just won't try to kill it. I'll make sure I'll get the kale salad with things I like. And then there's times where, you know, I know I'm going to go. I got a spot over here. It's called Why Not. I like to go get a burger.
Right.
But I won't eat the fries. I won't get the drink. I'll just have the burger.
What did he just say? What did he just say that we just said? We're kind of setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, in other words, like this. Like when I went to the barbecue place, I pretty much just got the right stuff.
Right.
I didn't get the fried okra with the fried pickles. They was fried cotton candy, fried. Yeah, I mean, they was frying everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So what you do is you kind of, you do that, and then back to portion control. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you do that, but then that's it. Mm-hmm. And you kind of come in there, and you work with that. I think those are things that help people make the right decision, because I just want to make what you said earlier, have a realistic plan.
Right, realistic.
Telling someone to go to Louisiana and then not eat.
Right, that's crazy.
That's crazy. So I'm just saying, just bring a salad with you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and do that. Not only that, a meal prep. Like one of the things also is that, you know, I hear you talk about your kids.
That ready, fit, go?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. Then I'm going to go to Hawaii.
All right.
But so, ready, fit, go, that's a great example. There's a restaurant. And you know how I found out about that restaurant? Because the USA Volleyball, the beach team, I'm treasured with USA Volleyball currently. And I started meeting them there. And then when I would have meetings with them, I would watch how they would eat. So when you're talking, they would eat, yes. And they would have the, and then they would kind of look at the box and would say, the carbs, yeah. The fat, the protein, total calories, and then the macro. Yeah, the macros in there. So they would have it like that, and then he would take three or four more. So he would have those as their meals. Mm. Comes in, right? And you know, by the way, he's in complete shape. You know, he's playing beach ball. What shape he's in. This MMA guy comes in, right? And he's the same way with his little crew. First thing I say, so I'm talking to him. He goes, "Hey, yeah, this is." He's also on the board with me. And he goes, George Thompson, you know, the guy like this. I shake his hand. I go, "Hey, you know what you need to do to the MMA guy?" I said, "You need to work out." And he looked at me and laughed. Because, you know, he was in shape, and all those little guys with him, because they're used to that. But see, that's a lifestyle. Once you start eating right, living right, managing your finances right, it becomes a lifestyle. Like, now it's not a bit, like, my kids, like, if they see me eating a salad, it's not like, wow, he's eating a salad.
Right.
Or when my wife, we do things, we walk together and everything like this. Then if you watch a lot of my social media, I do something called the wealth walk, where I walk, because it's doing two things at once. It's doing health and it's doing wealth. So you gotta do those at the time. You know, like a wealth talk or wealth walk, or you're doing those. Just same thing with entrepreneurship. You're not only helping, you're helping, it's a win-win-win. You're helping people, that's first and foremost. Then you're helping people. You're also helping yourself, because you have to live it. Live it. Please don't sell nothing that you ain't doing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So if you do that, I'm 100% against that. I'm 100% passionate about whatever you're passionate about, and do it if it's legal. I'm saying, be bad.
Don't
put that down. Don't take me out of context.
Put no
poles in here. Okay, gotcha. All right. And then, but that's how you actually want to walk through what you have.
Yeah.
And you'll feel better. They'll feel better. And at all, because we really need that right now.
Well, he knows me. And, I mean, I pretty much do. I mean, I stretch. I'm into fitness. I got the plan to eat right. I'm doing the plan to eat right.
Good culture and personality at the works. What are you telling me?
Appreciate it. And I will shed some fat if that culture isn't right. I'm like, okay, we gotta cut you on that team. And I'm like that. Pretty much, I'm like that with anything.
Right.
Like, if you're not, that's the one thing I learned is, sometimes you got to be straight up with people and say, "Hey, man, you're just not performing."
But that's part of having a healthy relationship.
Right, right.
Just because you want to know something. When you actually, this is another thing. My dad, this happened with my dad one time. He worked at IBM in Rochester, Minnesota, and we were sitting in a restaurant, and I was like 11, 12 years old, younger kid. Mm. This guy walks up and says, "Mr. Thompson, thank you so much for firing me. I am doing so much better at my new job and da 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 this and that." And then he walked away, I said, and he had just walked away with his kids. I said, "Dad, you fired that guy?" I'll never forget this, because this was like a long time ago. I was like, I'm 20 years old. He said, "Son, I've never fired anybody. They fire themselves."
Oh, yeah, that's so true.
See, he said, he still was supposed to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. He would set up his tools at 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, we got to be running. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, me and you both played athletics at a level. Right. And when we started our practice in college, they started at 4:30. We didn't stretch it for like when they said like this, they would beep and they blew that whistle. They're like, "Okay, line up, Like we weren't stretching, and then we finished it. We finished 4 hours later. Then we didn't lift weight. Then we lifted weights. Mm-hmm. Then we ate. Yeah, then we, you know, watched film.
Yeah.
Like you can't do, you know, and doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's about you being mentally prepared too. Mm-hmm. That's what built that. Mm-hmm. But you never fire people; they fire themselves. Second is people quit before they quit.
People quit before they
quit. When someone gives you a 2-week notice, They've already left. Just put your stuff on the table. They've already, or they've already left mentally.
Yeah, mentally.
That's why you get the right people and you run with them.
Yeah, you run with them. But people run their course as well. You know, like sometimes, at least for us at StretchBot, we've churned out really good people. They were with us for a while, and then they went on and just did better things.
You know? But that was better for you, because you know what, like, and then again, try not to preach, but there's a season that people have. There's a time for everything. Mm-hmm. And that was the right thing at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And for StretchBot, but then also for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that season's up,
that season's up.
And then you're good with it.
You're
good with it.
So any other wisdom you got to drop us?
Just real quickly. I think we dropped a we call it, we call it dropping some jewelry. So we've said a lot of things. It's just that what I really hope in my prayer for you is that you apply it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There are so many opportunities. Like, you'll see things that'll happen that will be considered negative, like high inflation, or prices are high, or interest rates are high, or different things. But in every adversity that there's also opportunity that opens up for that.
Especially nowadays.
And I pray that you walk through those.
Especially nowadays, because with the internet and your phone and products that are made for people, like, you don't even have to make products anymore. It's just, you got AI that can help you streamline things. Do you use AI?
I do very little. Wow. I could do a little more, but I do some AI, but then also I'm a little bit, I don't want to say I'm old school, but I'm a little pen to paper a little bit when I do that. And just a little bit off. I don't want to say the AI is not authentic, but I'm trying to be authentic.
Well, what's cool with AI, just since we're going that way, is if you let it do it itself, then it's not authentic. But if you speak into it, write what you want to say, and then have it make it better, it's pretty incredible.
It is.
It streamlines things. It can build websites for you. Yeah. It's pretty, you know what? I'm going to have to show him how to do it.
Hey, and when he does, guess what, though? Do you see what we're just doing right now? He's helping me because he's passionate about it. That's one thing we can learn. And I do a little bit with him, but two of my staff members use it heavily in the virtual. They automate a lot of what we do.
It's cool. So, hey, folks, I appreciate the time. I appreciate George coming out to come hang in the man cave. He gave us a lot of knowledge. So, hey, if you see this on a replay, go ahead and hit 1. If you have any comments or questions that you can put there, maybe I can throw it to him. We can do another interview. If there's something else you want to learn about, please like and share, and then we'll see you on the next video.
Like and subscribe. This is great knowledge. This will help you get to the next level. Thank you so much for having me come by. And hey, I look forward to seeing you guys on these episodes. Come on, check them out, and also comment.
Okay. Man, that was great to me.